Bishops from across England and Wales are gathered in the northern city of Leeds this week for a meeting which will tackle some pressing moral issues facing Catholics in today's secular society. These include reactions to Amnesty International's recent decision to support a woman's right to abortion in certain situations, as well as responding to new government legislation which will oblige Catholic adoption agencies to consider homosexual couples as prospective parents. Italian Archbishop Bruno Forte will be addressing the bishops' gathering on contemporary questions of religious freedom. And the bishops will also be discussing a new government report on child protection policy. Finally, the church leaders will be laying foundations for two documents on interfaith dialogue and ministry to migrants, two increasingly important issues in today's multi-ethnic and multi-faith context. Monsignor Andrew Summersgill is General Secretary of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales. He starts off by taking a closer look at the new government anti-discrimination legislation, which the Church is expected to comply with by the end of 2008.
The discussions with the government come about because the sexual orientation regulations are about discrimination in the provision of goods and services. And these regulations, as they've been drafted in this country, refer to adoption as a good or a service. And there are several Catholic agencies who prepare people as parents for children who are presented for adoption through the local authorities. And the problem that is faced by the Church in this country is that if the agencies are to continue in providing statutory adoption services, then they are going to have to consider having what is called an open policy, which means accepting as prospective adoptive parents couples who are in same-sex relationships. And that's a problem for the Church, because the Church cannot be in the position of validating same-sex relationships as being on an equal status as marriage and providing the basis for family life.
So is this likely to mean the closure then of these Catholic adoption agencies, or is there some way that there can be an agreement with the government to allow the agencies to carry on in some other way?
Well, we would sincerely hope the latter. We would sincerely hope that there is a way in which the adoption agencies can continue to be part of the statutory provision, because the reputation of the Catholic agencies is second to none, and the Catholic agencies provide a particularly good service in the placement of what they call difficult-to-place children and the follow-up that is followed, because what you have is that the Catholic agencies are very good at maintaining contact and support with the families that come about through placements through them. So what we are trying to do is to work with both the agencies and with the governments during this period, which you mentioned, through to the end of 2008, to find a solution, something that allows the Church to be doing this work because it's work for the common good, that doesn't compromise the principles and the teachings of the Church and provides a valuable service which is appreciated by everybody.
Another issue regarding questions of Catholic principles is the recent decision by Amnesty International to support a woman's right to abortion in certain situations, such as rape, for example. And I understand there are perhaps some quite differing viewpoints among the bishops as to how best to react to this decision.
No, I don't think there are differing viewpoints at all. I think the situation as it stands at the moment is, well, the bishops have been quite clear, particularly through Bishop Michael Evans, as to the way in which they didn't want Amnesty to adopt the position that it has done. What has now happened is that things have moved on to a different level, and what you find in this country, as I think probably in many other countries, is that there are particularly Amnesty youth groups and Amnesty school groups, because the schools and youth groups find the infrastructure provided by Amnesty as a very helpful and in many ways the only way in which they can engage in the wider work of Amnesty, such as being in touch with prisoners of conscience and that kind of thing. And Amnesty have obviously sensed that this is a difficult area for them, because they're not wanting to lose the support of Catholic schools and Catholic youth groups. And so they took the initiative of writing to Catholic schools to explain their position. Now, in explaining that position and making explicit the changes that have come about in Amnesty, that now puts the schools in a very difficult position, because while they want to do the work and they want to share in the work, they cannot share in the principles that Amnesty is now adopting. And so what the bishops will have to consider is how best they advise schools to continue with what is a very important and a very vital work, and it's one which the schools and the youth groups are particularly engaged in.
You'll also be looking, won't you, at the response to the so-called Cumberledge report regarding child protection policies for the Catholic Church. Again, can you give us an idea of what kind of response, what kind of form this response might take?
Yeah, well, the Cumberledge report came out in July. It's the fruit of about just under a year's work by an independent commission to review the policies and the processes and the work, considerable amount of work, that's gone on in the church in this country in the last 5 or 6 years to put in place child protection policies. And the commission has come out with a very basic recommendation, which is that we are now at the stage in this country, in common with a lot of civil society, where we need to broaden our understanding of what we're doing, and that we make the move from child protection to the whole world of what is called safeguarding, so that within that you have child protection, but it's much wider, so it includes the care of vulnerable adults, and it is the whole raising of awareness of the vulnerability of people and how, as a community, we respond to that. So the basic recommendation that comes out is, well, we must make sure that our minds and hearts are very much focused on safeguarding, and that we have the infrastructure in parishes, dioceses, and at the national level, which enables what really is an essential part of the church's ministry to be accomplished. At the same time, of course, then there are also the civil and the canonical requirements that go with that, and what we therefore have to do is to make sure that the policies, the processes, the structure and the infrastructure are compliant both with the requirements of the law in this country and also with the canonical requirements that there are for people who are working in the name of the church, and particularly for the clergy. And what I think will be coming forward from the bishops' meeting will be certainly an acceptance of that principle. It's a very good principle indeed, and it builds perfectly on the child protection principle and the paramountcy of the vulnerable. And then looking at the ways in which the structures we presently have in place can be adapted to meet that. It's not going to be an immediate change, because, as you can imagine, some of this can be quite complicated, and we're also dealing with a changing legislative environment as well. And just working the two together is going to take a few months to put in place.
Looking at some of the other issues on the agenda for this meeting, I understand there are a couple of documents, a couple of papers in preparation, particularly looking ahead to a document on interreligious dialogue. Now, this is an issue of growing importance, obviously, for the church. I presume in the British context, you're talking particularly about dialogue with Muslims and Hindus.
Yeah, but not exclusively. That certainly is a major part of it, because of the context in which we find ourselves in this country, and there is a growing number of Muslims in this country. But also, I don't think to be underestimated in our context is also dialogue with Judaism. I know that it's a very different kind of dialogue, but interreligious dialogue in our context is, I suppose, it's largely focused around the three monotheistic faiths. So it's focused around Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. And then there are the other faiths alongside that. And what the document is trying to tease out is what the purpose of that dialogue is and what the different stages and methods of dialogue there might be. I'd say that within our context, there is almost a natural inclination, certainly among the leadership of the churches and the leadership of the faiths, to seek to be working together to provide a witness in an increasingly secularizing society of the importance of faith and faith as a means towards providing some sort of cohesiveness within society, which, you know, many people would find to be lacking. So the bishops will be looking at this document with a view to having a far more formal look at it next year, and then looking at how the principles within it can be taught within the Catholic community.
There's also, if I understand correctly, a document in preparation about the Church's mission to migrants, the whole outreach to the many, many thousands of people who are coming over to the UK to seek work, to seek a better life.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if you look at the way in which the Church in our country, at its history, it is a history of welcoming migrants. The Catholic Church has continuously gone through change and development as different groups of migrants have come to this country. And it has been particularly enhanced in the last few years with the enlargement of the European Union and migrants coming from different parts of the European Union. And perhaps quite noticeably recently, that migration has largely been Catholic and therefore is injecting different types of interesting life into the Church. And there are all sorts of opportunities for us. And as a kind of welcoming community, then we really need to work out how best we can welcome the gifts that are being brought to us, as well as sharing our own gifts with those who are coming to us. So what we're trying to do is to pull together a reflection which shows what the principles of the gospel and of the life and the history of the Church are, and how then that practically is put into effect in the Church as it seems to be developing in this country now.
Sounds as though the bishops have got plenty on their plates throughout the coming week. So for the moment, thank you for sharing some of that with us.
OK, my pleasure.
My thanks there to Monsignor Andrew Summersgill, General Secretary of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales.